Thank you, Brother Chris. My, that's powerful. Wonderful. Wonderful we have a God like that. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to a place should be easy to find. That's the last book in the Bible. The book of Revelation. Getting near the end of it. Chapter 19. We're a little bit on the theme, as you can tell today, of Roundup Sunday, and I'm going to go that direction a little bit. I think you'll see in just a moment. Revelation chapter 19. I want you to look at the words and look in your Bible and follow along with me as I read beginning in verse 11 and down through verse 27. For the tape room and for putting a title on the message, they tape everything. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we'll call it The Posse is Coming. The Posse is Coming. I think you recognize that a lot of our culture today, the terminology has picked up a lot of the old frontier, Western type, B-movie type stuff that we enjoyed as a kid. Remember that? Remember the good part about it was the good guys always won? And you didn't have a hard time spotting who they were, by the way. It took the adult Westerns later to break your heart for the bad man, didn't it? But in the movies for the kids, they taught what was right. We picked up a lot of words like double cross, frame up, rustling, throwing a wide loop, or he's got the drop on you, or an ambush. All those words come into our language back through those days. And we picked up some good stuff. Sometimes I've heard it maybe called the Code of the West. You ever hear anybody say something about that? There was some honor involved, morality involved. Honor, you didn't shoot a guy in the back, remember? Remember? And you didn't shoot his horse out from under him either. That was a no-no. And by the way, the good guy didn't kiss the girl to the very end either. But picked up a lot of the code, and that was fight fair. And show respect and honor and various things that I think influenced America on the good side through those years, generation that won World War II and so forth back in those days. And one of the words we did pick up was the word posse. Can't you see in your mind the good sheriff gathering up the good citizens of the town to go after the bank robbers? The posse. Now, a posse can mean good or bad to you, depending on where it's coming to rescue you or coming to get you, I guess. But let's see what we got here, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 19 of Revelation. And, of course, some things have happened in the chapter already. There's been the marriage supper of the Lamb and so forth, but much in the future now. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Father, we thank you we'd be in your house, your church, assembled with your people. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God that we just read that tells us, Father, how it turns out, that who wins in the end. Now, Father, for a few more moments here, as we've enjoyed the music and all that today, help us listen to the message. Help us to think about it. And Father, we ask that you'd give us a victory in the hearts of every listener today. And Father, as always, we claim the promise that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So Father, in your Spirit I trust, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, as we take a little bit of look, we see the setting. It's, for you Bible students, it's at the end of what we call the seven-year tribulation period. We believe that that takes place after God's saints, God's saved, are caught out in what we call the rapture. The seven-year tribulation period is called in the Bible the day of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30. It's a day when God picks up with Israel again as a nation and deals with them, and it's a time of great persecution that's going to fall on that nation of the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and that's going to be running a course after God's people are caught out. It'll be the day of Jacob's trouble. Now, we recognize the picture. If you saw in just those few words, there's a big picture. We've seen it before. I mentioned the BE Cowboy movies. We saw it through those movies. Do you understand that as you watched in one of those movies and you saw it start off good, something bad would happen, there'd be a great big battle that would go for a while, but in the end, the good guys won? Remember that? Do you know what you were seeing? You were seeing something long pictured in the Word of God. Do you remember how the hero, much of the time in those movies, rode a white horse? And he came to the rescue. Did you see in the text, we've got an army of white horses coming? Do you understand the editors and the authors and the novel writers down through history have picking up on the theme of the Bible, and that very theme is pictured in so many of their movies and so many of their books? Do you understand when that good guy, that hero, come in on the white horse, he's representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's representing the good. He's representing the victory. He's representing a time when evil will be put down. And as we look about it to here this morning and think a little bit on Roundup Sunday, what we have is we have the Lord Jesus Christ coming. We talk about, and so glad Brother Grady Judd could be with us, and he's the high sheriff of our county, but here's a sheriff that's higher. Here's the sheriff of the universe. Here's the sheriff leading all those deputized by him from heaven. And they're coming, and they're coming back. And yes, we could call it a posse and not be too far off. We read where Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 24. He spoke about the day would come, and he said, after the tribulation of those days. That gives us a setting of when this is going to happen. And he said, they'll see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He said, the tribes of the earth will mourn, not rejoice. Mourn. You know why? Because he's coming back in judgment. When we read this description right here given in this text, we see him coming back with eyes like the flame of fire. We see him coming back, not to Jesus, meek and mild, that loves the little child, but bless the Lord, he's coming back in judgment. He's coming back to set things right. And as I look here, I see I can ask some questions about this posse that's coming. And to begin with, I'll say, who is in it? Well, to begin with, one whom the world has rejected. One whom the world has dishonored. One whom the world loves to mock, and they even hate his name at Christmas time now. Take Christ out of the word Christmas. Isn't that amazing? They love to mock him and blaspheme him. I saw recently this where there's a little movement on now to do a new Bible. They're always doing another one and another one. See, they can't get it right because they're distorting the truths they're changing. But I see now where they want to do a new one and take the word Son of God out because it offends Islam. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, let me tell you, the code of the West is being compromised as we let pagan religions come in and dictate in this country. I got a little old clipping here. I wouldn't take time to read it all. But this come out of our White House, out of our administration. I'm reading it to you now, and I didn't write it. Get mad at me if you want to. The title of it is, Islam Cannot Be Mentioned in Training. President Barack Obama has issued a new executive order by the Justice Department that prohibits the mention of Islam in any federal law enforcement training manual or training exercise. Under the order, federal enforcement training can no longer refer to Islamic terror or Islamic terrorists. Now, who was it that flew the planes into the towers? It wasn't Baptists or Methodists. It was Muslims. Who is it planting bombs everywhere? Who is it doing what is going on today? How come we can't call the truth and tell the truth and say it as it is? I don't know. But that goes on down. I'll not read it all, but it continues on down. This committee has been put together to eliminate all reference to Islam in any of these manuals. And they're trying, Sheriff, they're trying to pass it on down to local law enforcement. Isn't that amazing? I think they're going to find a few Americans that just blow up their back at this. I mean, brother, we're still going to call it what it is around this place. Who's in this posse? One who was mocked and rejected and dishonored in this world. But I also see another group in this posse. Those have been recruited earlier. I mentioned the rapture, those that are caught out. Brother, those that are signed up to serve with the Lord. I mean those that served down here as ambassadors after they got born again. And we're witnesses for the Lord Jesus. But you know what happens when heaven declares war on earth? It's going to first call its ambassadors home. And guess what? We're coming back in that posse. That's what the Bible teaches, man. That's what it teaches. And I like it. Jesus is on a white horse, but so are the rest of them. You ever notice down here, you look in these other countries, third world countries like Saddam Hussein, you saw his picture, he always rode the white horse. He was outstanding, but you know what? Jesus is going to put us on white horses. You know why? Because he cleansed our sin in his precious blood. Do you understand that Romans 8 says we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's coming back on a white horse, but I've got one too. Because my sins have been washed in the blood. Amen. I'm coming back in that posse with him. And you say, who is this? Well, the description's given here in the text. Look at his name in verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, hey, the world may not know him, but one day they are going to know him. He's coming back. They're going to find out about his name. In Philippians chapter 2, we read over there where the Lord has given him a name that's above every name. And at that name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. That's him. That's his name. I look here in the text I read and go back up into verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, wait a minute. In the Old Testament, they had a Jewish priest. He had a certain clothing that he had to wear. It signified things. And once a year, that high priest went into the Holy of Holies, into the temple. He went back in there with a special offering that had to be put on the altar. And the Shekinah glory of God would come down in that holy place back there. And that one time a year, that high priest was allowed to offer the real correct name of God, the Lord God Jehovah. And the closest word you have to it in your King James or in any Bible is probably the word Jehovah. But it's still not the perfect name. So when you read here that he has a name written that no man knew but he himself, you know who Jesus was? He was God. He was the God of gods. He was God incarnate in the flesh. And he was the one that has the name of God upon him. Now, you notice it says down here in verse 16 that his vesture, he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, when that high priest went into that holy place, he had like what we call a prayer shawl on, a special one. It come down long. And in the very ends of it, you had four corners on it. And those four corners had purple gems in those corners, the color of royalty. And written down on the edge of that shawl was the unspeakable, correct name of God that no man knew. So when you see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, sitting upon the white horse, the shawl is out on his thighs. And it's got the name, the unspeakable name of the Lord God Jehovah. He has a name that no man knows, but then you get down here and it says he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes back to this old creation that mocked him and rejected him and said away with him, we'll not have this man reign over us. He comes back and then they know who he is. Then they know he is the very God incarnate that came the first time. Oh yes, and that day they'll bow the knee. Who's in it? Well, the one that was rejected here, but the one that's been recruiting an army ever since. And yes, Christian, whether you like it or not, you're called a soldier in the Bible. You are part of that army. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're on this list. You've been recruited. You're coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ, our champion. But I ask the question again. Not only who is in it, but why this posse is coming. Well, like in the old movies, to save the good guys. That's why he's coming. Oh, we look around today, don't we see the need? Now I understand there's going to be a secret catching out of those that are born again through Christ, through his shed blood. But there's going to be a lot of folks left, and the majority of the nation of Israel will be left. And the truth is, the nations are now doing what the Bible said they would do. They're all getting in position against that one little nation. That's what's happening right now. You'd read, and I won't turn to it, but in Zechariah 14, I believe it is, you'll find out there they're going to come against Jerusalem. They're going to take Jerusalem. They're going to ravish the women. They're going to do all the bad things that a conquering army often does. But before they finish the job, somebody's going to interrupt them. The good guys, in this case it'll be Israel at that time near the end of the tribulation period. And I saw one of the Leon Panetta, I guess this week, talking again how alone Israel was, how all the nations was coming against Israel because Israel is more isolated, he said. They're isolated because those Arab nations want to destroy them. America, you better wake up. We're not going to pacify that crowd. We're not going to buy that crowd off. Somebody says, what do they want from you in the West? They want you to quit breathing. That's what they want. They want you to give up and surrender to them. That's what they want. That's the crowd. That's the crowd that's trying to push Israel into the sea right now. Did you see in the news this week where the president and the prime minister of France got caught on an open microphone? I'll tell you something. That caught them speaking not quite politically correct, didn't it? Huh? Didn't it catch to what they really had in their heart? Yes, it did. And that's the heart of that leadership that's trying to destroy a nation that God chose to be an example to the world. And God is dealing with that. And as the nations gather over there, this return of this posse coming is not only to save the good guys, but to punish the bad guys. Isn't that what it did in the movies? Sure it is. Punish the bad crowd. You know, the thing that amazes me is how long-suffering God is. How merciful he is. How much rope he gives. And that might be a Western term too. But you know what? The prediction of what he's going to do when this posse comes back is as old as any writing in the Bible. Go back to in the book of Revelation. Go to the little book of Jude. Just one chapter. The little book before you get to Revelation is called Jude. In this little book of Jude, you have a quote from a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch was seen in the book of Genesis when he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Remember the story? Well, you find Enoch spoke and Enoch wrote, and we find a quote from him here in the little book of Jude. Now remember, Enoch, when he lived, probably Adam might have still been alive. So that goes back a ways. But it says in verse 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. What did we read in Revelation 19? That's the army. That's the army of saints coming back with him. 10,000 of his saints, and that's just kind of an unlimited number. Why is he coming? Here it is in verse 15 of Jude. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Say, why is the posse coming for that crowd right there? He's coming against the bad. He's coming to deal with the bad. I hope you don't read your name here in verse 14 or 15 or 16. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust and their own mouth, speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. The sheriff mentioned the ACLU and the atheist crowd a while ago. I think you'd write their names right in there. You'll find a whole crowd of them. Ungodly speeches against God. We hear it all the time, don't we? Blasphemy and mocking, but hey, he's coming back. He's been long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. But one day, my friend, one day grace will be over. One day long-suffering will be over. One day he's coming back with eyes like a flame of fire. He's coming back in judgment, and he's coming back to deal with this crowd. This crowd that seems to be increasing so much today. Now I ask you the question. We're asking some questions about the posse coming. Who's in it? Why is this posse coming? Well, to rescue the good, to deal with the bad. And then the big question is, when will they arrive? I'll tell you when they arrive. They arrive at the crucial moment. They'll arrive when I mentioned a while ago, Zechariah, who says all the nations will be gathered against Jerusalem. Joel chapter 2 and chapter 3 says it's the day of the Lord. And it describes it almost. In fact, I haven't read the morning newspaper, but I'd be surprised if I didn't read fulfillment of Scripture in it again this morning. It's fulfilling so fast what was written in the prophets. The day of the Lord is gathering. We see the storm clouds gather. The big discussion is, does Iran have the bomb? Oh yeah, they got it. They're just not quite ready, but when they get ready, they'll use it. And while we keep on talking, and while we keep holding Israel back from blowing up their bomb plants, so to speak, nuclear facilities, we're going to wait till it's too late if we're not careful. But the posse is coming back. Oh, it'll get bad before it comes, but it'll come at the crucial moment. We've seen it before in the movies, haven't we? I remember as a kid sitting in an old movie house on Saturday, and I remember seeing the good guys pinned down, and it looked like there was no hope, but all of a sudden, there'd be the bugle of the Calvary. The Bible calls it the trumpet. When the Lord Jesus comes back, he comes back with trumpets. The devil don't want you to know it, but that's the victorious thing that's going to happen. You remember when we'd see the Calvary come riding to the rescue? Maybe the good guys were pinned down in the desert or somewhere else, and rejoicing when they'd hear the trumpet, and then you'd look and you'd see those soldier boys coming, the Calvary coming, and the flags waving in the air. I got news for you. There's going to be some trumpets and some flags when the posse shows up. When they come back following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we kids would do? Don't tell anybody, but we'd holler, yay! You know, I'm getting ready to do that. I think the angel is moistening his lips, getting ready. I think he's coming soon. And I don't know about you, but I'll lose my dignity. I won't be so dignified, but what I'll holler and praise God. If they give me one breath before I go up in the air to meet him, I'll be praising him. Amen. He's coming. He's coming soon. The posse's returning, and he'll not have a bit of trouble knowing the good guys from the bad guys. Amen. Oh, there's some other events already occurred before he comes. I've already mentioned the rapture will have taken place. That's where he got his army from to start with. But also, not only that, but the one world government will pretty well have no opposition when the good folks are called out. When the saved are called out, who's holding them back right now? People like us that stand for something. Oh, when they have their own way, they're going to put it together in a hurry. They're going to elect a man or Superman. They're going to think he's got the answer. He's going to be the Antichrist. And for a little while, they'll have it. But you know what? The rapture is going to take place. The one world government is coming together so fast right now. And it's going to look like evil's in the saddle. But you know, when the last of the posse has been recruited, maybe from a mission field somewhere, it may be somebody walked the aisle here in this church and get saved. I don't know, but when the Lord says, I believe, that's it. What did the Calvary say? Prepare to mount. Mount up. I believe he's already said, prepare to mount. I believe they're coming. I believe it won't be long. If that makes you nervous, it might be because you've got a problem. That problem may be you're in the wrong army. See, you're going to be in one of two. The one riding with him or the one facing him in opposition. See, I read down here. Did you read down here verse 19 and 20 with me? And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies. Armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Do you understand here the creatures are going to gather to fight the Creator? The one that gave them life? The one that spoke the world into existence? Are you going to be in that losing army that tries to fight the Creator? Say, preacher, I wouldn't want to do that. Then you need to know the captain of the posse. You need to know the high sheriff of the universe. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one leading this army of 10,000s of saints from heaven. I see the results here in verse 20. And the beast was taken. That's the Antichrist. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. A lot of people are going to be deceived. And them that worshipped his image, what happens to them? These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You know something? Everybody listening to me on radio, everybody in this building, we're going to be in one of those armies, for him or against him. You say, well, I'm too old, you know, I won't be in. No, but you'll be represented by this world's army. If they gather at Armageddon to stop the Creator from coming back, you'll be represented by them. That'll be your army. That'll be your colors. They're flying to try to stop the Savior that died on the cross for our sins, that loved us, and paid for us with his own blood. The one that God, Psalms 2, tells us he's going to set him on Zion's hill. Oh, he said, why do the heathen rage? Said, the Lord will have them in derision. He's going to show them who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, I thank God that some number of years back, I went to a church where the gospel was preached and heard the good news that Jesus loved me and died for me. And I received him as my Savior, and he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when he takes this army and puts them on white horses and start back, I'm already enrolled. I've already got a place reserved. I was recruited a long time ago when I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's my Savior. I know him. He knows me. Can you say that about him this morning? See, he's coming back as my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In this life, he's my Savior. He saved me from my sins. But if you've rejected him, he won't come back as your King. He won't come back as your Savior. He'll come back as your judge. As your judge. You've heard the old story, but I think it truly happened in the Western days. A man brought his wagon and had his little boy asleep on the front of the wagon, the floorboard of the wagon. He parked the horses and went into the store and left the little boy there, and everything was fine till some loud noise, some drunk cowboy, somebody else fired a gun, and all of a sudden the wagon, the horses spooked, and the wagon went running down Main Street wide open. And the daddy come running out of the store hollering, My son, my baby's in that wagon. My son's in that wagon. And a young attorney had come to town, and he heard the man hollering, and he saw the team running. And that young attorney ran out in the street and caught the horses and wrestled them to a stop and reached over in the wagon and got the boy out. Years and years went by. Many years went by. That boy grew up. That attorney stayed in that town and finally became the old judge, working his way up to the bench. Day came that a young man, guilty of many crimes and finally murder, came into his court. The judge and the jury had to deal with him. And the jury declared he was guilty and he was to be sentenced. He walked before the bench, and that judge looked at him and told him, "I'm sentencing you to death, to hang by the neck until dead." And that boy looked at the judge and said, "Judge, don't you remember me? Surely you remember me. Judge, you saved my life. You were the one that stopped that runaway team when I was a little boy. Don't you remember me?" And the judge said to him, "Son, I do remember you. I do remember you well. And I remember that day well. What I want to tell you is, on that day, I was your savior. Today I'm your judge. And you will hang by the neck until dead." That story's been told many times, because that's what Jesus is to you now. He wants to be your savior. If you don't accept him as savior, one day you will see him as judge. When he comes leading the posse of heaven, and he comes back in judgment with eyes like a flame of fire, oh, my friend, don't face him then. Face him this morning. Come and face a loving savior today that will save your soul, write your name in heaven, and one day you can come back in victory with him to set up his kingdom. That's what he'll do for you. If you're here and you're not saved, don't hesitate. Don't take another chance. Come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ while you have the opportunity. I pray you will.